over. My feelings he couldn't reciprocate till October. But he's the one I wanna lay my head upon his shoulder and keep it warm because it's just about to get colder. But I said I wouldn't see him, nor would I touch him. He says he misses me much and proceeds with sounds of suction through the phone. I tried to hit the dial tone to clear the mess up, a fess up, and say I'll be there soon, just clear your rest up. I can't dismiss it, no matter how much I just can't resist it. And now he's telling me he finally wants to be committed. I can't call it. Would I be playing myself to fall for it? Scanning my mind to see how much time I could stall, or it could blow up. Other kisses affect like anesthetic. It's never as good as the first time, and you never do forget it. Feeling pathetic, but I quote it like someone said it. If you really love it, then you should just let it go. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress, I let it go. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and just act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress. 3 times this year I've seen my people go to violent action that could have been avoided without negative instigation. Going on, off at the mouth with foul verbal interaction, inevitably ending up with one or more gunshot patients. I guess it's not a virtue anymore, and scores gotta be settled with steel or real, and even in the flesh and bone field. But 18 feet of soil was dug out, 3 brothers' lives was struck out, cause you wanted to be down without catching a body, you stuck out. Hey, what goes around is ultimately what you give. Sometimes good people and bad things mix. Sometimes death will fix the way you live. I give my life to bring back family and friends, but I don't control that. I know that mine's precious till the end. I leave my life course to the greater knowledge of the Creator. And if it's time to go, I won't hold back. I'll just let it go, let it flow. If it's meant to come back, then it shall do so. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress, I let it go. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and just act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress. At 13, I watched ghetto gold turn to green. I get crushed due to some dramatical street scene when all my people's lives are wild out, wearing the low style out. One night we stood in front of home base, watched the club file out. Mad people started running, that was the end of funnin'. One nigga standing, B-boy stands, holding his gun and started shooting, polluting the curbside with shells, yelling, bugging out cause someone stepped on his gazelles or aces. Whatever it was, money's beef was basic. It's tragic the way that people take an anger and misplace it. Now, mad of my people's wearing scars and stitches, cause niggas choose to play the role of acting like bitches. Don't take it hard if it's not, you act like you know. And all that unnecessary shit, just let it go. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress, I let it go. Let it go, let it flow. Move on with your life and just act like you know. Been on my last breath, been between life and death, but I gotta let it go. Can't deal with the stress.
All right, radio fans, you're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9 FM. That was The Herbalizer featuring girl rapper What What with Let It Go. Before that, we heard Faith Healer from their album Cosmic Troubles. Song was Again. Can you close the door for me? So this is a very special episode of Transition State. As usual, I'm your host, Adam. But for the first time, I have two very special guests. They are Jason Alessio and Mitch Prasad. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us on, Adam.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Okay. I think I'll start by just briefly introducing you. Some people out there might not know who you guys are. So we're all pharmacy students. We're in the same class. We're just finishing up third year, which is kind of a like a benchmark year for pharmacy students. I'll start with Mitch. I turned your mic on now. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, we need that. Sorry.
We got some technical difficulties here, people. That's
you
know, okay.
You don't need that? Okay.
No, I had the mic off. Sorry. I've done that the last three episodes in a row. Sorry. Okay, you guys got to get it nice and close.
I think we can get close for the mic. Yeah,
nice and close? Okay.
I think we're good.
So, Mitch, you are the FUS president. You're also sort of very into sports. Where are you from? I'm not sure that.
I guess, like, originally I'm from Chilliwack. I grew up, so that's pretty close to Vancouver. So
okay.
Right away. Born in Kitimat. Yeah.
And I also know you had a previous degree in commerce.
Yeah, I actually was at the Stodder School of Business here, so I did like 3 years at UBC before I decided to do pharmacy. So I've kind of had my run here at UBC for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And Jason, I know you're from Smithers.
Yep.
Smithers, BC. I know, yeah, you play hockey like Bobby Orr. You were the FUS sports rep.
Last year, yeah.
I know you're involved with the BCPHA.
Yeah, me and you.
Okay, and I also know that you're involved with BCPHA and CSHP.
Yeah, I volunteer time to time from here to there. And CSHP, I was more involved before, but then, yeah, help out from time to time with things.
Okay. So for our viewers out there, they might not know, but generally in pharmacy, there are two big routes that you can take. One is community that's working in a pharmacy, like in a store, and then there's sort of hospital or clinical practice. So I'm curious about you guys. Where do you want to go in the future? Do you know?
Yeah, I guess I'm leaning in a certain direction right now. So I'm leaning towards hospital pharmacy or clinical pharmacy.
Okay.
And so that's kind of, I'll be looking to apply to residency most likely next year, which is something that you have to do if you want to do pharmacy after your degree. You have to do a year of kind of clinical residency before you can actually practice in hospital. Yeah, and then Jason, I guess.
I'm more interested in getting into the community pharmacy aspect of it. Getting into pharmacy, that's kind of the route I wanted to go, so I've always been more interested in that. But that's to say, I'm not going to like totally close out a hospital. I still have a while before like deadlines are coming up. So, but right now I'm kind of leaning towards community for myself.
Both of you are thinking keep your options open?
Yeah,
like I think I have, right now I have a preference a little bit, but like I still would be interested in doing certain things in community. Just right now I'm leaning one way. I haven't really closed my mind off to it yet at all.
Okay. Do you have like an ultimate goal, like a finish line that you want to know, or are you still going to sort of, you're thinking medium term goals?
Yeah, I would say like my goals are more so like medium term, like within the next 5 years is where I'm looking. So it's kind of like if I were to go into hospital residency, just kind of getting myself established in the, like kind of in the Vancouver area within a hospital. And that, maybe that would be like my most immediate goal, or my most, the goal that I have kind of in my mind.
Any hospital in particular?
I guess it would be at, like, I'd want to be at one of the larger ones, so say like a VGH St. Paul's, just because I feel like they would get the more interesting cases. You kind of get a little more opportunities at different, as you rotate through the hospital.
Makes sense.
Yeah, one of those two.
I think, for me, I definitely think long term, like obviously I just want a job after I graduate, like everyone. But, I mean, once you kind of have a set job, like, down the road, I definitely want to look into opening my own and owning. I think you, if you get it with the right company, you can kind of have a bit more freedom to do with you want, what you want with it. So it's definitely an option. I don't really have a set timeline for that. Just sometime in the next, in the near future, I'd like to get into that.
Do you think you'd like to go back to Smithers?
I don't think so, because I don't really have any family there, and it's kind of really far away.
Okay.
So if all my family was there, I would be more interested in it. But, like, all my family is in the Okanagan. My parents actually moved away from the Okanagan when my dad graduated university. So for me to go back up there, I'm kind of, like, isolating myself from my family. So I don't think I would want to do that.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Well, I'd like to get to some music. I'd just like to explain, I think, to the listeners. So there's a bit of a generation gap between me and these guys. I think I'm about 10 years older. So this interview, in like preparing for it, really inspired me to sort of visit my life 10 years ago when I felt like I was in sort of the place you're in now, and a lot of the music and stuff that I was listening to at that time. So I'm going to play you some music, sort of a musical education, something like that, okay? So
sounds good.
Do you guys know the Wu-Tang Clan?
I've kind of heard of them. Yeah.
Who's your favorite member of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Couldn't tell you.
Wu?
Okay. Well, we're gonna get some education going right now, but I'm feeling this is gonna be like a bro episode. And when I was like back in these days, it was me and the bros. We had a really good group of guys. Yeah. So at first, like, I'm gonna play some Wu-Tang Clan, but I really want to send this out to one of the original bros who's out there listening right now. His name's Dave Flanders. Dave, me and Dave go way back. In high school, I asked Dave to hold my chocolate milk while I went and played football, and I never got that chocolate milk back. That's still the kind of guy Dave Flanders
still
is.
Still better about that.
But no, Dave has actually been a huge inspiration. He wrote me a reference to get into pharmacy in the first place. He's been a really big supporter of me in Vancouver. He's the guy who picked me up at the airport. He's the guy who got me set up at Langara. He is a huge success. He has his own company. He has like a diamond of a wife, and he has a new baby.
That's awesome.
He's just about six months old. He actually has a band too, and we're going to play some of his band later. But right now, we're going to hear "The Mystery of Chess Boxing" by the Wu-Tang Clan.
A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first. Before you move.
Tone style is immensely strong and immune to nearly any weapon. When it's properly used, it's almost invincible.
Roar, I'ma give it to you with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation. Weak MCs approach with slang that's dead. Their minds are running to the wall and bang your head. I push a force, I force your doubting. I'm making devils cower to the Caucasus Mountain.
Well, I'm a sire, I set the microphone on fire. Rap styles vary and carry like Mariah. I come from the Shaolin slum, and the alley I'm from is coming through with enough niggas, enough guns. So if you wanna come sweating, stressing contest. You got your soft swords at the midsection. Don't talk the talk if you can't walk the walk. Phony niggas are outlined and chalk. I'm mad vexed, is what the projects make me. Rebel to the grain, there's no way to barricade me. Steamroller niggas like an 18 wheeler. What the drunk driver driving, there's no surviving.
Rough like Timberland, where? Yeah, me and the clan and yo, the Land Cruisers out there. Peace to all the crooks, all the niggas with bad looks. Bald head, braids, blows is hooked. We pack home text, nigga play the max. Black axe, drug dealing styles with fat stacks. Only been a good nigga for a minute though, cause I got to get my props and win it, yo. I got beef with commercial ass niggas with gold teeth. Lampin' in a Lexus seat and beef. Straight up and down, don't even bother. I got 40 niggas up in here now who kill niggas for me.
My people's, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack. My people's, are you with me where you at? Smoking meth, hitting cats on the block with the gas.
Here I go, deep type flow. Jack, you stole, can never get this. No, I'm Terry Bomb and shit. Boom, that's warming up a little bit. Rapping in is what's happening. Keep the pockets stacking in, hands clapping in. At the party when I move my body, gotta get up and be somebody. Grab the microphone, put strength to the bone. Dan, 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 into the Wu-Tang zone. Sure enough, when I rock that stuff, up, up, I'm gonna catch your bluff. Tough, rough, kicking rhymes like Jim Kelly or Alex Kelly. I'm a beat a belly rhymes, coming raw style, hardcore. Niggas be coming to the hip-hop store. Coming to buy grocery from me. Turn out to be a hip-hop MC. The law, in order to enter the Wu-Tang, you must bring the old dirty bastard type slang. Represent the Jizza, Abbott, Ruzza, Shaquan, inspect the deck. Dirty hole getting low with his flow. Introduced in the ghost face killer. Never could get it out.
My peoples, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack.
My peoples, are you with me where you at? Smoking meth, hitting cats on the block with the gap.
Speaking of the devil's sight, know it's the guard, get your shit right. Mega trifling, yo, I killed you in a past life. On the mic while you was kicking that fast shit. You and Nick tried to get it, got blasted. Half-mastered ass style, mad rough chest. When I struck, I had on Tim's in the black mask. Remember that shit? I know you don't remember Jack. That night, yo, I was sitting like a spike bat. And then you thought I was bugged out and crazy. Strapped for nonsense, after me became lazy. Yo, nobody budged while I shot slugs.
Never shot dogs, I'm running with dogs that flood mugs. So grab your 8 plus 1, start flipping and tripping. Niggas is jetting, I'm licking off, son.
Wu-Tang, 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 Wu-Tang.
Homicide's illegal and death is a penalty. One justifies the homicide when he dies in his own iniquity. It's the master of the mantis rapture coming at ya. We have an APB on an MC killer. Looks like the work of a master. Evidence indicates that it's stature. Merciless like a terrorist, hard to capture. The flow changes like a chameleon. Blends like a friend and stabs you like a dagger. This technique attacks the immune system. Disguised like a lie, paralyzing the victim. You scream as it enters your bloodstream. Erupts your brain from the pain these thoughts contain. Moving on a nigga with the speed of a centipede and ninja. Any motherfucking contender.
My peoples, are you with me where you at? In the front, in the back, killer bees on attack. My peoples, are you with me where you at? Smoking meth, hitting cats on the block with the gas.
And we're back. That was Wu-Tang Clan. You're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9. I'm your host, Adam. I'm here with Jason and Mitch. Guys, how's it going?
Great.
It's going great. Yeah.
How did you like that Wu-Tang?
I liked it. It was something new. How did you like it, Adam?
That Wu-Tang joint?
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is real music. I wasn't even into rap before that, but that album, Enter the 36 Chambers, That was for the children. That was for future generations.
When did that come out?
94 or something? I mean, we got it in Calgary probably 96, in high school.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to music when I was 4.
Okay, congratulations. Okay, so I have some more pharmacy questions I want to ask you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious, what do you think is like the top most important issue in pharmacy today?
Well, personally, I don't know. They've done lots of stories on it with CBC Marketplace, mm-hmm. and it's just... It is an issue, I think, is like the issue about quotas in pharmacies. I think that's a big issue. And then I also think that like pharmacists not like grouping together, because there's no like unionized pharmacy group that can like bring all the pharmacists together. So there's a lot of competition between wages. That's why like a lot of wages in the Lower Mainland are a lot lower than other places in BC.
Right.
So I think that's an issue. But with the quotas, I think that's also an issue, because like we're involved in the BCPHA and they're trying to get lots of like new clinical services, and the stuff that they have gotten is like great. It's like makes us able to use our scope of practice better. But then like you see these big corporations, they kind of, I feel some of them see it as a money grab, you know, something new comes out and it's just another way for them to impose these on pharmacists to like make more money for the company. So I think that's an issue, and hopefully the college or something gets addressed about that.
Sort of something from like the bottom up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if I were to, I would agree that one's a really big issue. Another issue at the moment is along the same lines of with the clinical services, and just what about how pharmacy is changing, and we're trying to implement new clinical services or train our pharmacists to do new things in the community. And right now, it's kind of like the model of pharmacy isn't really very accepting of that. Like, it's kind of difficult right now for a community pharmacist to have the time to give all these services to patients and for them to kind of keep their pharmacy alive at the same time, because there's no reimbursement for things like that. So I would say that's a big issue as well, because the government right now is cutting back on things that traditionally made pharmacies successful in the past. And so like pharmacists have to turn to new things, but at the same time, when they're trying to find those new things, they aren't getting paid for it and they don't have the time to actually do that. So I would say that's another issue as well, kind of that goes along with the quota.
And one thing, I don't know if you, that article I posted last week,
mm-hmm.
It was an article basically about talking about different pharmacies around Canada mm-hmm. who were, they were charging patients for these clinical services, because pharmacists get into this mindset that like, if the government doesn't reimburse it, we won't do it. But these clinical services are actually, for some people, the very beneficial. So you put it up, if you let them know that this is how much it's going to cost and you're charging them for that, I think people will be very accepting that they're still going to come in and do it.
Yeah.
It's just, we get in this mindset where if it's not for free, we're not going to even offer it. And, like, what kind of professional does that where people don't have to pay for anything? So it is a thought to, you know, start implementing a bit of
charging. Yeah, just take the step.
That's a great point.
Take the step ourselves.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Mitch, you're the FUS president, which is Pharmacy Undergrad Society. And, Jason, yes. You're a BCPHA student ambassador. So you guys both, I imagine, have your finger on the pulse of student body. So what do you think is the top issue for pharmacy students right now?
For pharmacy students, at least from my perspective, the biggest thing that I've dealt with recently has been just kind of like issues around the building and with like student involvement, kind of how students get along with faculty.
Oh yeah,
I know the pharmacy building is a pretty new one. It's about 3 years old, I believe, 2011, mm-hmm. and like there's 12. Been 2012, yeah, and there's kind of been some ongoing issues recently with like the faculty space committee considering kind of taking away access to the study rooms for students because they haven't been some students haven't been treating them all that well. So I'd say that's kind of like the biggest issue at the moment for students, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, I think that too. Like the building issues are definitely, you see apparent whenever you talk to people. I think a lot of, especially with our class, we've been told that we're quite anxious class and nervous. So I think that's an issue about like graduating and coming into practice. A lot of people are just very like nervous about work and jobs and like the future, which I mean, there's not really any way to address that. It's just the way our class is, and you know, gotta go do it after you graduate.
But yeah. When I think of sort of your guys' two roles, I think ambassador on the one hand is sort of a little easier because the ambassador is just sort of a go-between, you know.
Yeah, and it's more like a knowledgeable, like we're trying to, that was another thing going to say is like a lot of people, like BCPHA, a lot of some students don't even know what that is, which is not great because it's kind of important.
But, you know, being FUS president, I'm curious, like, is it hard for you at all or how hard is it to sort of bridge the gap between things like the space committee and things like just regular students who don't know anything about what it takes to run a pharmacy school? Is that challenging?
It's challenging to reach a certain demographic of pharmacy students. Like there's certain pharmacy students that are somewhat like semi-involved in kind of extracurricular stuff around the faculty. And in doing so, they kind of understand a bit more about things that are going on behind the scenes. But a lot of students that kind of, they're more focused on kind of attending class and then they have kind of stuff going on outside of pharmacy. It's kind of hard to get through to them about the issues that were going on.
Right.
Just because they don't, like, a lot of them won't even understand that, say, like, our building isn't, it's not ours by right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of, like, varying levels of understanding amongst the students. So I would say that it is tricky to get through to them, but then kind of at the same time, you kind of do that on a case-by-case basis because you can't really go out and explain it to all 800 students every time, like the same way. It's kind of have to deal with issues as they come up. But yeah.
Okay, I gotta say, it's impressive sometimes. It's impressive watching you guys work. Okay, but now I'd like to transition from sort of pharmacy life into pharmacy science. So later in the show, we're going to do the draw and find out the winner of who gets their DNA sequenced from our recent fund drive a couple weeks ago. So I want to start by just asking you guys, do you have any sort of opinion on pharmacogenomics? What do you think it would be cool? If you had the opportunity, would you like to know your DNA genome?
I think if I had the opportunity, I would absolutely love to know my genome. One, I don't really think there's a downside. And pharmacies looking to hopefully use it at some time in the future. Like as you mentioned, pharmacogenomics, incorporating it into making sure that you give the right drug, right dose for different, like each individual, because it kind of varies amongst people what you would give for certain conditions. And the way you kind of take away some of the, some of the guesswork, which is what we're kind of aiming towards. I think that could be something that's very useful. It just remains to be seen, like, how soon that's actually put into practice.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's, like, you put it well, is, like, there's no downside in learning it, and in the future it could benefit everyone. Mm-hmm. With that, I was at the MLA Pharmacy Day at the Legislature, and that was one of the things they were talking about with MLAs, about the Dr. Nizzolo's project. They actually started with about 20 pharmacies in BC, about 200 participants, about getting their DNA sequenced and, like, getting a DNA sample and transporting it to UBC, and they were talking more about they were getting like the making it safe that like there's no confidentiality breaches,
right.
But it's just a step in that direction, which is really good that's becoming more apparent.
Do you think in the future this will be a regular thing? People will know.
I think if they can make it cost effective, I think it'd be like there's no downside in doing it. I just would like to know like the cost behind it, about like, you know, the benefit versus like the cost of doing that, taking a DNA sample and getting it sequenced.
Okay.
Yeah, I know from everything that we've heard so far, it sounds like it's kind of getting exponentially cheaper to do these from over time, or at least that's at least my take on it. So I think that it could be cost effective, and then also you kind of see that a lot of the faculty at UBC are getting, or in pharmacy, kind of are getting like grants towards their work, like Dr. Nieslow, who is kind of spearheading most of the genomics along with Dr. Reed.
Mm-hmm.
He just recently got a grant or an award, I think, that runs over 7 years or something. So it's kind of, you can kind of see that it's coming along for sure.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to hear some more music, but I just want to say sort of my thoughts, because you both sort of said that there's no downside, and I think I agree. You know, I'm not a person who thinks that like ignorance is bliss. I think, you know, give me the info and I'll decide. But I have some, I can't remember where I picked it up, but there's like a philosophy that, you know, if you sort of look into the future, you'll either see bad things that are going to happen, and in between now and then, you'll sort of know it's coming and it'll just be worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or conversely, you could see something good happening and you'll sort of use the joy before you've even gotten there. And so in either way, I don't know. Do you really want to know the future?
Well, that's the one thing we were talking about with the MLAs, because some of them were asking that. It's like, because there's a lot of diseases that are genetic, predominantly genetic based, mm-hmm. and they, like, a lot of people don't want to know. They have no idea, don't want to know, but say they were on warfarin and they want to know, and that's like the genetic testing predominantly, like that's what they were looking at. So you could get your genetics tested, and just because you do that doesn't mean that's what they're testing. So that you have your whole genome. Yeah, exactly. They're doing what they're testing for the pharmacotherapy.
Yeah.
But just because you have a person's genome, they're going to be like, oh, sorry, you're going to have Huntington's or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
right, okay.
They don't dispose. It's more just like you have it available, but it's totally up to the patient. They don't need to know. It's more if they just want to know what this, like,
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So just to be clear, what we're going to give away is, it's a full code access. It won't be something you can easily just like read like a book. It'll be a big Excel file on a USB. There'll be no strings attached, and it'll be up to the winner to decide. If they want to know, they can know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's coming right out. First, we're going to hear... Oh, I want to know, what is your guys' favorite Beastie Boys song? Do you guys like the Beastie Boys? Okay. No. Okay, the education continues on CITR.
Sabotage one? I think that's one.
I don't know.
Pleasing to the eye.
And we're back. And we are back. I keep hitting that button twice. Okay, we're back. That was Beastie Boys with I Don't Know. That was a nice song, hey?
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are now proceeding with the draw. Just for the record, the people who were entered were Aaron Zanotto, Jeff Stark, Massey Tafty, Dr. Simon Alban, and Robin Alam, my very own station manager. So, Mitch, would you do the honors here?
I'd love to.
Don't worry. It's
fairly randomized.
I thought you didn't like
we it. We have video proof.
How random is random?
And the winner is... No, I know there we go. Aaron Zanotto.
Aaron Zanotto. All right, congratulations, Aaron.
Hopefully he's listening.
I'm sure he is. If not, we'll be getting in contact with you soon. Okay. So now, in the second part of this interview, I'd like to transition into something that I'm passionate about, which is music, and I guess we'll continue with the musical education. So let me ask you, who is your favorite band? Do you have any band that's like really important to you?
I have a favorite that I know Jay could probably tell you right now. I guess my favorite is the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he loves the Foo Fighters.
Jay enjoys them on our trips to Whistler together when I drive up.
That's all he plays.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's my go-to band for sure.
Okay.
Like right now when I study and stuff, I don't listen to them. I listen to different type of stuff. But yeah.
Jason?
I like country music. I'm a big country music fan.
That's fine.
So, my favorite country artist would be Eric Church. And I'm actually going to his concert in 2 weeks.
So, where at?
Rogers Arena.
What's his name?
Eric Church.
Eric Church.
Yeah.
I do like country music, but yeah, I've never heard of him.
He's
your
favorite.
Guy?
Yeah. I do, before, like, you listen a lot of, like, punk rock, right?
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of Rise Against. Too.
Okay.
They're
now we're talking.
Oh, me yeah. too, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I really. Oh, I still like. Okay. I still yeah. like them. Have you heard their new album?
No.
Yeah, they just came out with a new album. I heard it's actually like really good. Yeah. So, but like back, it was like only like 4 years ago. I have all their albums and everything. So I
really okay. like what's them. Your favorite Rise Against song?
Ooh, good question. I like. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. What's your favorite Rise Against song?
I don't know. I was just thinking that as I asked that. I was like, I should have an answer for this. From one of their more recent albums, I liked Savior a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll stick with that for now.
Yeah, that one there, the Whereabouts Unknown?
Yeah.
I like that song.
Okay, yeah.
On that album.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to know who my favorite band is?
Beastie yeah. Boys?
No, I do like Beastie Boys. They're musical geniuses. I'll give them that. But no, my favorite band is Propagandy. I'm glad you brought up punk rock.
Okay.
Have you guys ever heard of Propagandy?
The last time I listened to your show.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're going to listen to a song now that was my absolute favorite song back in the day when I was like you guys are now. It's called Back to the Motor League with me. Do you know what the Motor League is?
No.
I think it's the like Manitoba equivalent of like in Alberta we had like the Alberta Motor Association.
Okay.
Do they have something in BC like BC Motor Association?
Like for what?
It's basically like you know, you can go there and get maps or you can go there and like get I think you can get insurance. You can join and, like you get a tow truck.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, BCAA. Okay.
So I think they called that the Motor League.
Okay.
And so this is a song about they were a punk band and they sort of got big. And then you realize that the punk scene is a lot of posers and, like, a lot of people, like, acting like they're all hardcore are really just, like, selling out and going to the mall and, like, making crappy music and not really into it.
Yeah.
And about how some days he wish he would just go back to working at the Motor League and, like, dealing with stupid people who get lost and, like, getting them a tow truck and stuff like that, okay? Yeah. I'll warn you, it is quite hardcore, so... Might want to strap on. That goes for everybody at home. Here's Back to the Motor League with Propagandy.
I like to party fucking hard. I like my rock and roll the same. Don't give a fuck if I burn out. Don't give a fuck if I fade away. Back to the Motor League with me. Before I'm forced to face the wrath of a well-refined public who lived vicariously through tortured out of his college drunk for punching much of pablum. Back to the Motor League I go. Once thought I drew a lucky hand, turned out to be a live grenade. Oh my god, holy shit.
build up to burn never ceases to amaze. And as I'm suffering a perfection, reminds me of my own race. Retrace my own debt is the real. Mouth feet, eaten hats, cheated balls, Amish phone books, drunken brawls.
And we are back. What'd you guys think of that?
I liked it.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked
fast paced.
Okay. I'm not sure if you were able to catch it, but one of the lines in there he says is, I guess life is just a popularity contest, and success is just the ability to perform within a framework of obedience. Just ask the candy-coated Joycam rock bands. And he's talking about crappy bands like Blink-182. Mm-hmm. So do you have any reaction to a statement like that, that he thinks success is just the ability to perform within a framework of obedience? Let me ask you an easier question. What is success to you? Like, what do you see? Who to you is like, now there's a person who's successful? What would be success to you?
I think success is like something that applies to the person. Like, I think that success is kind of like a personal point of view. Mm-hmm. Like, something that I would view as my own success might be different from something else. Like, there's different goals that different people have in their lives, and like for me, I really enjoy stuff that I do in my time off, and that might like make me not go as far in my career to other people, but I would have a lot more time to do kind of like my recreational stuff in my own time, and to me I would define that as success. So yeah, I think it's kind of like it's different to everybody for sure.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say something very similar. I think a lot of people get caught up on, you know, making themselves look good to everyone else, and they think that's success. But in the end, I mean, if you're head of a company or you own something but you're unhappy and you think your own life is crummy, that's not successful.
true.
You know, someone's happy with what they're doing, they're happy with their life at home, that's, in my mind, that's a successful person.
I totally agree. It's about like that personal happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then do you guys now consider yourselves successful? Like, do you feel successful?
I guess
you're pretty happy, right?
I think, I think like, given if we kind of like, we'll complain about studying and stuff, but I mean, if that's really our biggest complaint that we have, I think we're doing pretty well. I'm enjoying, like, I think that we're going into a great field, and that's kind of going to let me hopefully live the life that I want to. So I would say that I'm kind of on the way to success for myself. I'm still not like where I want to be in the end.
I agree. So I think it's hard being students measuring success because, you know, this is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think I'm successful, I made it, but you're like midway through degrees, like a lot of things are going to change. Yeah. So this isn't going to be forever. So it's hard to have a measuring stick for success when you're just going to school and, you know, you're going to graduate and actually move on to something else in a year and a half. So I think you can be successful, you feel successful at what you're doing at the time, but overall I think you kind of have to wait and make the most of it once you graduate and move on.
Yeah, it's important to stay grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week I had Dr. Lowenen, and I asked him if is it lonely at the top? And he was like, oh dude, I am not at the top. And I think I get where he's coming from, that he was staying grounded, and I think that's a good headspace. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's a converse thing that happens where sometimes people have this so much success around them that they almost become numb to it, and they don't realize like how much they've achieved, like what mm-hmm. they've done. Mm-hmm. So many people would like just won't get there, or they you know, they won't have the chance. And so
is that also like you say they don't realize the success they've achieved, but also it's like so that's a matter of them either not appreciating what they've done.
Yeah.
But once you, like, you always expect more of yourself, right? So if you do something, you find, you know that that's the first thing you've done that's very successful, and then after that, you keep doing stuff. So it just becomes a norm for you, and you expect more of yourself.
Yeah.
I could see that. So, you know, like Dr. Lum, he's achieved so much, and all those are successes. But once you keep doing that, like,
the bar gets raised.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you, I always, you know, I'm a firm believer of, like, you got to move it forward, you know?
Yeah.
If you sit on your, if you sit back and you're happy with what you've done so far, it's kind of like, well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost, like, more important than where you are is, like, whether you're going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the top, if you're on your way down, it's a bad feeling here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. And I would say, like, I don't know, we started this off with just kind of the talk about success, and I would say, like, you kind of achieve individual successes as you meet each one of your goals, right? And even people who are at the very top, or who we think are kind of at the top, they still have goals for themselves in the future. So there's still, like, ways for them to achieve more success. Or, like, so...
Yeah. And that's why I was saying, like, once you've achieved so much, you still set these goals for yourself. So you may be doing all this stuff and succeeding at it, but then you still have, in the future, you're still moving forward. So it may not become apparent, like, how much you've done.
Okay. I have a similar question, which is, you know, I sometimes refer to you guys in your group as, like, quote, the cool kids. So what to you is, like, cool? What do you think is cool? For example, me, I think, you know, I think pharmacy is cool. I think radio is cool. I think peer tutorials are cool. What do you guys think is, like?
Yeah, I think it's all your own interests. Like what you were just saying, like, those are things that you're into.
So what are you guys into?
I'm really into sports, so okay. I think, like, I don't know, we go skiing quite a bit. I think being able to do the things that make you that you enjoy all the time, I think that's pretty cool.
So walk me through this, like, on a pretty regular basis, you guys are, yes or no, playing tennis, playing, yes,
started that.
Well, we just started that.
Playing volleyball,
yes,
playing dodgeball, playing sports night, going skiing, hitting the gym, hockey.
For Jay. Yeah, hang gliding. Like, when we have time.
Right? Hang gliding?
No,
kite boarding.
Anything else I'm missing?
Well, I mean, I guess that just gets to it. Like, we're two people who really like to be active. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's, to us, that's what's cool. That's what being cool is. Like,
okay.
So.
You're a cool dude.
Yeah. I think you're pretty cool.
Wow. There's a lot of bromance going on right now. Okay, that brings me back full circle to the next song I want to play for you guys. Have you ever heard of Pennywise?
Yes, I have heard of Pennywise.
Okay, do you have a favorite Pennywise song?
No.
No.
That's okay. I'm going to play my favorite Pennywise song, which is the Bro Hymn, which some people might not know, but which to me is just, it's almost like one of the perfect pieces of music out there, like comparable to like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or like Mozart, or like da-na-na-na. Stuff that, like, you always know. This song is just so raw and powerful.
Nice.
I want to encourage everybody at home to give it a real rock out when you get into it. Turn up the music and take off your shirt and see what happens. You know, we'll be rocking around. So here is Pennywise with Bro Hymn on CITR 101.9 FM. It takes a while to start.
Trouble, trend, present, best, and beyond. Though you weren't worth a all those who weren't with us too long. Life's the most precious thing you can do.
While you were here, the fun was never ending.
We are back. I hope you guys enjoyed that rock and roll ride.
I did. It's okay. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time for this week. So I guess I just want to say thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us on. This is a very unique experience. My first radio show.
Right on, right on. I hope that we got through to you guys in terms of music and why certain bands are better than other certain bands.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of new stuff today.
Right on. Some stuff to take home for sure, yeah.
Okay. Then on that note, I guess we're going to play a song that I sort of alluded to earlier, which was by my friend Dave Flanders' band. He has a band called The Crobots, and we are going to hear from him, not him, from that band right now. As soon as I find the button for CD. Here it is. So this is signing off for this week, Radio Fans. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we have a very special girly girl episode with Britney Spears fans. So stay tuned for that with Anna and Jen June. Coming up after this should be Dunkin's Donuts. So stay tuned for that. And until then, see you next week and stay pharmaceutically sound.